Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one if you want to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic is abortion, the number one killer of black Americans. Activists said that abortion clinics target poor black communities and contribute to the mortality of black life. They say the most dangerous place for a black person is in the womb. They charge genocide. Abortion. What is abortion? Abortion is a procedure to end a pregnancy. It uses medicine or surgery to remove the embryo or fetus and placenta from the uterus. The procedure is done by a licensed healthcare professional, or it should be anyway, right? So Margaret Sanger, S-A-N-G-E-R, the founder of Planned Parenthood, gets the nod for disproportionately terminating black fetuses as an extension of the eugenics agenda that has been debated. And we're not going to debate that today. We're just going to talk about it. So I guess somebody might want to debate it. I don't know. But from the National Human Genome Research Institute, right, with a guy named Francis Galton. He'd all use the term eugenic, which comes from the Greek word eugenes, meaning good in birth or good in stock. So Galton is the Charles Darwin's cousin, right? He first used the term in 1883, in an 1883 book, Inquiries into Human Fertility and Its Development. He claimed that only the higher races could be successful and that social traits such as intelligence were a result of heredity. His writing reflected prejudiced notions about race, class, gender, and the power of heredity. For the National Human Genome Research Institute, eugenics, its origin and development. 1883, right? I just talked about this guy, right? Francis Galton, to the present. Of course, I don't have this whole scenario. But they said, eugenics is an immoral and pseudo-scientific theory that claims it is possible to perfect people and groups through genetics and the scientific laws of inheritance, right? Genetics are used an incorrect and prejudiced understanding of the work of Charles Darwin and Gregor Mendel to support the idea of racial improvement. In their quest for a perfect society, eugenicists labeled many people as unfit, including ethnic and religious minorities, people with disabilities, the urban poor, and LGBTQ individuals. Discussions of eugenics began in the late 19th century in England, then spread to other countries, including the United States. Most industrialized countries had organizations devoted to promoting eugenics by the end of World War I, right? So that's most industrialized countries. That would include the United States. That's all your big countries, or most of them, like they said. So, right? So that would be one pseudoscience, eugenics, based on another pseudoscience, race. How intelligent is that? The question is, why anyone would want to terminate the lives of black people in an effort to control their population? What's up with that? Ben Carson, a retired neurosurgeon and politician who served as 17th United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, which is weird, stated, Margaret Sanger believed in eugenics and that she was not particularly in love with black people. He used the word enamored, right? But it just means in love with, right? So anyway, Margaret Sanger is the founder of Planned Parenthood. She founded it in about, 1915 in the United States, right? Something like that, right? So the question is, did Margaret Sanger believe in eugenics? did she practice that, follow that, you know? She ran a program like that, you know? And the writer says yes, but not in the way Carson implied. Hmm. That's one of those things that make you say, hmm. Because Ben Carson, I don't think he's just going to pull that out of the hat. We're going to go on and find out. Eugenics was a discipline championed by prominent scientists, but now widely debunked, that promoted good breeding and aimed to prevent poor breeding. The idea was that the human race could be bettered through encouraging people with traits like intelligence, hard work, cleanliness, thought to be genetic, cleanliness. Y'all heard that, right? Because if we go back and do some history, you're going to find out who was cleanly and who wasn't. But we're moving forward with the program. Cleanliness, to be genetic, to reproduce, right? Eugenics was taken to its horrifying extreme during the Holocaust through forced sterilization and breeding experiments. In the United States, eugenics intersected with the birth control movement in the 1920s. In the United States, eugenics intersected with the birth control movement in the 1920s. Sanger reportedly spoke at a eugenics conference. She also talked about birth control being used to facilitate the process of weeding out the unfit and of preventing the birth of defectives. Margaret Sanger, right? So there's another quote that they say from a letter from Margaret Sanger to Dr. J.C. Gamble on December 10th, 1939, says in a quote, "We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out the idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." In birth control and women's health, Singer writes, "In the early history of race, the weak died early or were killed. Today, however, civilization has brought sympathy, pity, tenderness, and other lofty, worthy sentiments which interfere with the law of natural selection. We are now in a state where our charities or compensation acts or pensions, hospitals, and even our drainage and sanitary equipment all tend to keep alive the sickly and the weak, who are allowed to propagate, in turn, produce a race of degenerates." She's a good old girl, ain't she? She just loved people. Margaret Sanger on birth control and women's health. Ain't that something? She's one of the nicest people who walked the earth. Anyway, found this article about DNA. It said, "DNA discoverer, blacks less intelligent than whites." Oh, I said, well, what? One of the world's most eminent scientists had created a racial firestorm in Britain. James D. Watson, 79, co-discoverer of the DNA helix, right, and winner of the 1962 Nobel Prize in Medicine, told the Sunday Times of London that he was inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa because all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours. So you can ascertain that Mr. Watson is not of the darker hue, right? Whereas all the testing says, not really, says the testing say, those Africans aren't as smart as us. He recognized that the prevailing belief was that all human groups are equal, but that people who have to deal with black employees find this not to be true. Hmm. So if whites believe that black people are genetically less intelligent than whites, that could be perceived as a genetic birth defect. Therefore, termination of the black fetus could be perceived as weeding out the unfit and preventing the birth of defectives. I mean, I'm just trying to look at it from different angles. From the Atlanta Black Star, back in 2008, a Cornell University study revealed that the genetics of Europeans have far more harmful mutations than people of African descent. These harmful mutations have continued to build up and continue to plague European bloodlines. The same Cornell University study also revealed that people of African descent had far greater variations in their genetics than their European counterparts. I thought, still more reason to depopulate the potential competition. A population of intelligent, genetically healthier black people is a threat to the ruling wealthy and the status quo. How do you get people to terminate a pregnancy? Create the conditions that facilitate the termination of a pregnancy and empower them to act out those behaviors and make those decisions that lead to terminating a fetus. That is evil genius. All right? Again, abortion is a procedure to end a pregnancy. It uses medicine or surgery to remove the embryo or fetus and placenta from the woman's uterus. One might argue that a woman has autonomy over her body. And these Planned Parenthood facilities provide a much in-demand service for women and maybe some men who are not or do not want to have a child. They're not ready to be parents. Maybe they shouldn't even be near a kid. I don't know. No one is forcing these women to terminate pregnancy. They should use birth control. They shouldn't be engaging in sexual relationships unless they are prepared to accept a child coming into the world. Another argument, they shouldn't engage in sexual relationship unless they are married. So that means you're ready for whatever comes, right? Whoever coming down the line, you ready for it, right? Others may argue some women are systematically being forced to terminate a pregnancy. It's immoral and ethically wrong to abort a child, terminate a pregnancy. But another argument, it is genocide, eugenics, a war systematically designed to depopulate the undesirables or the perceived useless. From the CDC and the CNSN News, 117,626 black children are killed by abortion in 1 year. 117,626 black children were killed by surgical abortion in the United States in 2018. These deaths accounted for 36% of the total abortions that year. This data was collected by the CDC from only 31 reporting areas in the country, which means the actual number of blacks killed by abortion is higher. For white children, there were 135,328 were killed by abortion, 38%. A total Hispanics were 70,195, 20% total. And others, there was 26,975 abortions, 7.7% total. So I said, okay, what about murder? In 2019, there were 15,020 cases of murder and non-negligent manslaughter, up from 14,915 in 2018. Right? This is from 24/7 Wall Street. From the New York Post, at least 8,600 black lives were lost to homicide in 2020, an increase are more than 1,000 compared to 2019, 7,484. Considering blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population, I'd say black women disproportionately abort children in the good old U.S. of A. From the National Archives, the Vietnam War, Vietnam conflict, right? That lasted about, I said 1964 to 1975. What's that, 11, 12 years? 4, 5, 11 years. So they say that in the Vietnam War, 58,220 U.S. military fatal casualties in that war, right? So I say, I guess y'all probably already heard it. You can see it here, the number's lower. Anyway, I'm just going to go through it because I wrote this stuff down. So the National Archives state the Vietnam War lasts about 11 years. That's 58,220 divided by 11 equals about 5,292 killed a year, mathematically, right? I'm not saying that's what happened every year. In 12 years, it was 4,851, right? 0.6. Aborted fetus dwarfed the number of fatalities in peacetime or war in a year or 11 or 12 years. What's driving the abortion rate? What is driving women, people, men and women, because women aren't the only people that want abortion, but women have autonomy over their bodies, so the ultimate decision is theirs. What is driving the abortion rate? From the GetMatcher, GTTMACHER, I don't even know how to say that, GetMatcher Institute, right? Oh, the GUT, the GutMatcher Institute, right? They say abortion is increasingly concentrated among poor women. In 1987, 30% of abortion patients were women who lived below the federal poverty level. 2% lived two times the federal poverty level. And in 2014, 49% lived below the federal poverty level. And 26% lived 1 to 2 times the federal poverty level, right? That's not a lot of income, right? From Concerned Women for America. They say, not every state reports abortion by ethnicity, but those that do reveal that abortions to black and Hispanic women account for 55.4% of the 405,795 abortions reported by race. This number is disproportionate considering the fact that black and Hispanic women only comprise of 29% of the total U.S. population. Poverty, right, is by design. It's not a coincidence. As my friend told me a long time ago, when you see something repeating itself, that's not an accident. Historical foundations on race, right? Race is a human-invented shorthand term used to describe and categorize people into various social groups based on characteristics like skin color, physical features, and genetic heredity, right? Race, while not a valid biological concept, is a real social construct that gives or denies benefits and privileges, right? So, race was designed to protect the wealthy ruling class and validate the enslavement and disenfranchisement of the captive African slaves, along with the exterminating the indigenous people and putting them on open zoos, the reservations. Well, guess who is disproportionately at the bottom of the economic pyramid? From the World Whirling Wind, they say repression of people may protect the wealth and power of the aristocracy, right? That's those guys that are have the money, but they don't wear it on them. Don't get them confused with the guys that have the money and they're running around looking like they're millionaires. These guys have the money, but they don't wear it. However, it leads to a dystopian society where the wealthy live in walled enclaves and the majority of the people live in squalor. The energy which would be directed toward communal advancement is turned to maintaining the status quo, right? This continues until it reaches critical mass and a total societal collapse occurs, right? So I gave you a quick example I like to use of that is 100 people on an island. Two people own all the resources. They're controlling all the resources, right? Two people. What do you think happens when those 98 people can't get the things they need? What do you think is going to happen? You're going to have a societal collapse because you have people who have more than they need, and you have less people having more than they need and more people needing more than they have. So anyway, they say society, we're all well down the path to a dystopian future with society where there is great suffering and injustice, right? I kind of thought we was already there, you know, which is we got the, as my friend likes to say, we got the uncle who rapes you, you know, he rapes you and he buys you nice things. He rapes you and he buys you nice things. You know, he'll give you a little something, you know, give you a little something. You know, that's the situation. So that's great suffering and injustice. Unless we change the course immediately, he says. The wealthy have worked to create laws to maintain their power and control. Our tax laws have been written to nearly exempt them from taxation, right? They said loopholes allowing offshore accounts and tax havens have allowed them to profit from the labor of the working class without reinvestment of that wealth back into our society. That's the definition of greed and narcissism. In the street terms, F you, right? Opportunity is gradually being reduced like an ever-tightening noose to be considered for gainful employment. You need a college degree. The cost of college tuition is rising faster than the economy is growing. In order to pay for college, those who were not born wealthy must incur the debt of student loans with no guarantee of employment upon graduation. That's right, and no guarantee of being employed in whatever field you went to school for, right? Inner-city schools are being defunded and closed. Most children successfully completing our public education system find themselves unprepared to pass college entrance exams. While they're defunding inner-city schools, they are funding prisons. In fact, prisons are a growing industry. More and more goods and services are now being produced with prison labor, slave labor, right? Prisons have become the new plantations. So, if you don't get that, the USS was founded and perpetuated on slavery. They went from plantations to plants, places where an industrial or manufacturing process takes place. That's from fields to factory, and that is if they're lucky to get a job or you're incarcerated, right? Project Library, the marginalization of African Americans in U.S. society. They said the marginalization of African Americans in U.S. society is because of particularities of the oppression of this specific racial group in terms of a more extreme situation for this than any other racial group in U.S. society. A total bottom position of an entire race can not only be maintained by individual and political actions and has therefore been integrated in the design of institutions such as criminal justice system and housing and educational segregation. Those institutions have been created to push African Americans to the bottom of society and ensure the bottom position for African Americans today, as negative images surrounding African Americans are maintained and upward mobility for significant portions of African Americans is highly impaired and reversed by those institutional implications. The system of segregation and the design of specific institutions such as the criminal justice system are consciously and unconsciously having a high toll on African Americans. That's no excuse for crime. I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to excuse crime, because just because you're poor, don't have the king of the things you want, that's no reason to commit these horrid criminal acts that's going on that we see in papers and in front of us. Some of us not seeing it on TV, we actually seeing it. Those systems are thereby serving multiple reasons of maintaining an entire race as scapegoats in terms of negative trends and in times of recession, and maintain privileges to a much larger extent enjoyed by white Americans, right? It's called white privilege, right? African-American economic, social, and political position continues to benefit mainstream society in all areas, right? Therefore, mainstream society is not striving and fighting as hard for a totally just and equal society, as this would mean sacrifices on their own behalf. What narcissist would do that? What greedy person would do that? I think with Tupac, on an interview, talked about a man. How can a man have a house with 52 rooms in it, and we got people out here that don't have a roof over their head? He said, that's not fair. So here it seems poverty can be a motivation for the termination of a pregnancy for those who are numbered among the impoverished and oppressed. Their impoverished, marginalized state would seem to make them vulnerable to a decision to abort a pregnancy. Add that with the fact that the woman doesn't want to experience a pregnancy, birthing a child or motherhood for whatever reason can have an impact on a woman's decision to terminate a pregnancy. There's a lot of things that can impact on that. I wonder how many black women think that they need to reproduce to add strength to the black population or to prevent the genocide of black people. That is a hell of an objective for the people, but without the support of the people, as long as unity eludes black people, that objective will remain far-fetched, at least to some. More black people means more black people to help, and more black people to help black people, if they are of the mind to do so. So think about that. You lifting up a rock. Five people lifting up a rock. Or 10. Or 20. Plymouth Rock. Remember, population growth and an increase in economic capability can be viewed as a threat to those in power, in control of wealth, government, and peoples. Getting a bigger piece of the economic pie means a smaller piece of the pie for someone powerful or perceived to be powerful. Getting a large piece of the pie is considered a hostile takeover, a termination of power, which will initiate at least a covert act of war. Methods of population control can serve as tactics, right, or protection against such social economic infection. It's not an infection to the poor. It's an infection to the wealthy, because you are infecting their power and wealth. From the U.S. Census, in 2019, the share of blacks in poverty was 1.8 times greater than their share amongst the general population. Blacks represented 13.2% of the total population in the United States, but 23.8% of the poverty population, right? That's about a quarter. The share of Hispanics in poverty was 1.5 times more than their share in the general population. Hispanics comprised of 18.7% of the total population, but 28.1% of the population in poverty. In contrast, non-Hispanic whites and Asians were underrepresented in the poverty population. Non-Hispanic whites made up 59.9% of the total population, but only 41.6% of the population in poverty. Asians made up 6.1% of the population and 4.3% of the population in poverty. Now, I know you can look around and you'll see a lot of Chinese stores, right? You can look around, you can see a lot of poppy stores. Even in the black community, a lot of Chinese poppy stores. Where's the black stores at? Where are the stores owned by black people? Where are they? I mean, I know there are a few in Philadelphia. I know there are a couple of 22nd Street. What's that? Germantown Ave off of Lehigh. You got the hat store. We got the brothers that's cooking over there. But, I mean, you walk out your door, it's not you. And, you know, hey, everybody have a right to sell what they want, wherever they want to sell it at. I get that. It's a free world. But in terms of black collective economics, I see very little sign of that. And I'm saying that to say that these women who are impoverished, who choose to terminate a pregnancy, if that is something that takes away from us as a group of people, where does that pour that? Where is it coming from? And I'm not saying not there. Nothing is there. From the African Grove, abortion is the number one genocide in the black community. Before money, you got to have the heart. You got to have the mind to want to help somebody. It takes more than money that could help somebody. Abortion is the number one killer of black Americans. From the African Globe, on May 22nd, HB 388, the Unsafe Abortion Protection Act, passed the Louisiana legislature. Now, I hear a lot of fuss about this here, but it's talking about I don't really get it. I don't know much about abortions and stuff like that, but it seems like apparently people must have been doing some very unsafe things. Maybe injuring, killing some people because of the practice, not because of the nature of what they're doing. So I'm thinking that these women, and this is a group of women, different women, who support this act, right? They said it's HB 388. I don't really know if there's anything else attached to that or anything like that, that this might be the door to Pandora's box or something else. I don't know. But so far, Unsafe Abortion Protection Act, I see nothing wrong with that. It's correct me if I'm wrong, if this is a lead into something else, because I don't know. But anyway, the HB388 is critical for Louisiana because women are often harmed by sloppy abortionists who are more interested in the $450 they receive from each abortion than the health and safety of the patient. $450. I think some dental work costs more than that. The HB388 requires abortionists perform abortions to attain admitting privileges within 30 miles of their facility. Clarifies that the woman's right to know law applies to chemical as well as surgical abortions, right? So she can make an informed consent, right? And requires doctors who perform more than 5 abortions a year to maintain proper licenses. The author of the bill, Representative Katrina Jackson, was heavily criticized for this, right? She is a Democrat, African-American woman who is proudly pro-life. It sounds like she's not anti-abortion. She's pro-life of the woman who's might be receiving an abortion. So anyway, one of the first to criticize Representative Jackson's bill was none other than Cicely Richards, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, right? She said that the politicians are attacking women's health by restricting access to abortion. Now, I don't know if that means there's something more to this HB 388 that I'm not aware of or not, but for face value, make sure that you take it. You take the health and safety of the patient, you know, in consideration. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not restricting nobody, anybody. HB 38 is for women and by women. They said legislation was drafted with the legal expertise of a bioethics defense fund attorney who happens to be a woman. The bill was supported by the committee's testimony of Kathy Killebert, the woman who serves as Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals, a woman representative, Sharon Weston Broome from Baton Rouge, right, carry HB 388 on the Senate side, and two-thirds of the women members in the legislative body voted in support of this bill. Richards and Planned Parenthood have a financial interest in opposing laws that require abortion providers to meet the same standard of care expected of any other surgical facility, which is suspect. Why, if you care about these people, are you complaining about meeting the same standard of care expected of any surgical facility? Another criticism of HB 388 was that it would negatively affect the African-American community. As we said, that that community, women, black women, are disproportionately represented in the termination of fetuses, right, in this country. So how would being or maintaining a standard of care that is expected of any other surgical facility negatively affecting the African-American community? Somebody would have to explain that to me because I don't really get that. This came to light during the Louisiana House Health and Welfare Committee's meeting on March 19th. According to the Christian Post, pro-abortion advocates and abortion clinic employees testified that among all women, abortion benefits black women the most. Well, so far, I haven't heard anybody say anything against getting an abortion. They just said, make sure that you have a safe you know, place for them to to occur. And that safe place is standardized, right? However, Representative Jackson disagreed and said that the following about the committee meeting: the number one genocide in the African American community, and why we're becoming a minority of minorities, is because most of our babies are dying in the womb from abortion. The comments regarding African American women were that abortion helped them make a choice when they couldn't take care of their child. And I told them that that wasn't a cure. If you want to really cure the situation that's going on socioeconomically with everyone, you do that by supporting measures that give people a hand up and not a hand out, right? She's saying it's a socioeconomic situation because this is by design. Basically, when she says that, she's saying, hey, these people are impoverished by design, and impoverished people are, you know, more likely to make use of this situation. So, right? So, poverty influenced women to abort fetuses because they lack the financial resource to care for the child. I'm just talking about that one thing, I guess. If abortion is why we're becoming a minority of minorities, what are we willing to do? The us, the black people, the African American, the black Americans, what are we willing to do? Is there a we and us in this scenario? After all, a woman has autonomy over her body. Only two people capable of making a decision are actually involved in this scenario, and one has absolute authority. If there is a way, these women who want to keep their child should have a community of support. One may argue, what support can an impoverished community provide to their fellow impoverished and pregnant community member? Maybe the tribe can support the members of the tribe, because there are many communities in the tribe. That's the us, the we. Well, I guess that's my imagination. I'm dreaming. Maybe. I don't know. I heard some brothers talking about doing stuff for folks. If women of low-income communities are more likely to get an abortion because they feel they do not have the capacity to care for a child, it would be logical to provide abortion services to those communities where the service is most likely to be in demand. So Planned Parenthood is only doing what a person in their position would do. They're poor. They can't take care of their kids. They don't want them. Step right up. And they're making a buck doing it. So, like any service, you cannot provide a service where there is no demand for your service. Women are not being forced to get an abortion. They are requesting or electing to get an abortion. That makes poor women a target for abortion clinics, and abortion clinics a resource for poor women seeking to terminate a pregnancy. That's a double-edged sword. Maybe they could raise the child, but don't want to raise the child in poverty. Can the impoverished woman's demand for abortion be exploited to depopulate a target group of people by so-called race, ethnicity, and income? Yes. And particularly, if that demand is founded, facilitated, and perpetuated by racist, social, political, and economic ideologies, strategies, concepts, and politics. And don't say you can't see that glowing in the United States. If poverty is the only reason impoverished black women abort their fetus, the question is, what is the black community willing to do to support these women and children before they get pregnant, when they get pregnant, and after they give birth? How does the black community, the village or tribe, give these black women the economic support not afforded and afforded them through government agencies? Maybe they need more than economic support. Maybe they will need the support of a spiritual, mental, ethical, moral, social, and economic support blanket from birth. Just to quote the scriptures, train a child, something about train a child as the way he should go, and then he won't go astray. But if he does, he can find his way back. But if you don't know, you can't find your way back. Or it's harder. You can find, you don't know, you can learn. I take that back. I stand corrected. Correct myself. Anyway, remember, Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I keep using this as an example because they was living in a time when they was lynching brothers for walking on the same sidewalk as a white man, looking at a white woman. Or, hey, I guess some nights they just lynched a brother because they wanted to and they could. They hung people for crimes they never committed and they knew they didn't commit. And lynching was just stringing up. Not that stringing a loose around your neck is better, but when they lynch you, they dismember you, they torture you, and do all kinds of stuff. So you are very conscious about what's going on to you, with you. Said so. They lived in that time, and they created this Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you haven't heard about it, look it up. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, right? They had everything except protection. Anyway, it can be done. Blacks giving blacks a hand up created an autonomous black community in the 1900s. You understand? They had laws on the books about what you can't do. Man, you had to think about with somebody racist. It's on the books. This tribe worked together to give each other a hand up. Call me crazy, but the best way to fight poverty is together. That means the poor, the rich, the middle class, the whatever class, everybody has to work together. In the spirit of it taking a village to raise a child, maybe, if there actually was a village, those poor women would choose not to terminate their pregnancy due to their impoverished state. They would give birth to a new village or tribal member. Raising a child means more than having a child. Maybe it does take a village to raise a child, rich or poor, and even more if you are among the economically challenged. Child is our responsibility. Adults are our responsibility. The women are our responsibility. Maybe I am crazy. I don't know. Because it seems like we wilding out. Well, not us, a portion. Because like I said, I've heard some people having some positive conversations about giving a hand up. Help somebody come up. Not a handout, because you hand out, they stay at the position they are. You know what I'm saying? That's like a dog. He don't learn how to hunt. He don't learn how to do anything he's supposed to do as a dog. He waiting for you to feed him all the time. He's just waiting to be fed. That's a handout. A hand up is you showing that dog what he needs to do, and then you set him out to the wilderness where he belong at. Some of y'all might not like that because I know some people like pets and they love dogs and stuff like that, but dog got a life too. So that's what happens with people. You hold them in one place when you give them a hand out. Some people take a hand out and springboard off of that. So even at that, it depends on the individual. Anyway, from CNBC, as black buying power grows, racial profiling by retailers remains persistent problem. But this is what I took from this article. I think we got to call them. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get you in. Black buying power was $1.4 trillion in 2019, according to the Center for Economic Growth. That's higher than the gross domestic product of Mexico. It's projected to grow to $1.8 trillion in 2004. That growth is outpacing white buying power. Between 2000 and 2018, black buying power rose 114% compared to an 89% increase in white buying power, according to Nelson. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Shalom Aleichem. Shalom.
It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, you
but
too, man.
I just want to make a couple comments, if I can.
Please.
First off, I would like to advise your audience, encourage your audience to go to YouTube and watch a program called a movie. It's a documentary called MAFA 21. MAAFA 21. It'll shed plenty of light and give a complete history of the abortion movement and the eugenics movement.
Right.
Second, I would like people to keep in mind that the worst in us that you see is not us naturally. Meaning that all the things about us that you see that you do not like is not us. It's been engineered. It's been created. Abortion, since the abortion has been legalized, there have been over 18 million black babies murdered. That is no accident. You don't believe in accident? I don't believe in accident.
Well, I'm actually quoting you.
Right. Yeah, but 18 million babies have been killed. And I asked the question, who does abortion benefit? I know no woman that benefits from abortion. You know, people talk about poverty. Poverty is an illusion. There's no, oh, I'm not going to do this to my baby. I'm not going to have a baby and bring it into this world and make them suffer. That's through the whole world of having to wear Nikes every day.
Right.
Come on, how much sense? Where's the poverty if we all wearing $300 sneakers every day?
Hey, I just talked about the buying power of the black community.
But we got to remember that when you're in an abusive relationship, when you got somebody, you know that you're going to get somebody going to whoop your ass the next day and the day after that and the day after that. When you try to find ways to get along in that relationship, to make that relationship work, you are mentally incapacitated. You are traumatized. You know, what they call PTSD and all that stuff. You
PTSD.
Got to be a plumb fool. You got to be a plumb fool to try to figure out ways to get along with somebody who has proven to you that they're going to bust your head, that they'll destroy you. So the Negro trying to figure out how to be successful in America is foolish. That's foolishness. You tell, I can't tell people to try to figure out a way to make this relationship work.
Right.
America was born in genocide, built on slavery, and sustained by the rape and murder of the world. And there has been no change. You know, they keep trying to promote this idea that that was all the past and get over it. It's the same. They still murder. They still killing people. They still burning babies across in Iraq and Afghanistan and all that. You know, the problem what's happening right now today in Ukraine is because they trying to make it look like Russia's a bad guy because Russia don't want them to put their bombs right outside their gate.
That's right. I mean, that's the Bay of Pigs, right?
Right.
Oh,
same
that's
thing,
the Bay of Pigs
know,
all over again.
All over again. And you now Russia the bad guy. And, you know, you got all this media bullshit trying to construct this idea. And you actually see black people talking about pray for Ukraine and all that stupid stuff. We so easy, you know. But I really want to know, what is the actual benefit in abortion? And if there's such benefits in abortion, how come they weren't put in no community but ours? There weren't
know,
no billboards advocating abortion in the white community. They got billboards on every wall in our community, right next to the corner store that used to be ours, that they advocating abortion, just like they advocate billboards advocating newborns and cools.
All the kill you stuff.
Yeah. But abortion, 18 million of our babies, ain't nothing, no Holocaust, nowhere ever equal that.
No.
Ain't no amount to add up all the wars, all the cancer, all the cigarettes, all the everything. And no, none of it equal 18 million. And they talking about my body, my choice. If it's my body, my choice, then how come we all got to be vaccinated?
Well, you know what they say about that, right? They say get down and lay down with that. You know, after they said that, the benefit, for your benefit, and people to see eye to eye with them, it was get down and lay down. Either take the jab, or I'm going to throw you out on the street because I'm gonna strip you of all your earnings. And if you ain't saved up enough money, which most people haven't, you're going to be on the street in about a month or two, living in your mom's house with your three kids.
Of course not, because we want to buy, like I said, Nike and all that kind of stuff, and invest in crypto and all kinds of stupid stuff. And look, I got a friend of mine that I talk to, and he makes it very clear: if another man controls your water into the next 72 hours, you are a slave.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live 3 days without water.
That's right.
So buying the block and all that bullshit, you get self-sufficiency is the only answer. The only answer, you know, to that step. So self-sufficiency and self-identity. Because if you knew who you were, if you had a complete appreciation of who you are, where you are, and who brought you here, then you would know who your enemy is, and you could not be deceived with this bullshit.
Right.
It's simple. This ain't rocket science. This ain't hard. This ain't, you know, we don't need things. Everybody talking about we need to study our enemy, and we got to watch him. He ain't got to study nothing. You watch two episodes of Game of Thrones and two of Shameless, and you know who he is. You know what I mean? So
I feel you.
You know, so
yeah, it's not complicated at all. What seems to be complicated, like you say, is for us to unite. That seems to be the most complicated thing. For us to unite, trust each other, you know, and just have a common.
But unity is a unicorn in itself. You know what I mean? Because you can't wait for that. If Castro waited for that, they'd still be casinos in Cuba. You
right.
know what I mean? Because if we, a unity unicorn, who do you want to unite with? You know, I tell a guy, the same guy that I was just talking about the work, you go to Africa, you want to do some work, you got the Christians, more Christians than the Christians. Now, when Jesus tells them to kill you, you dead. When Muhammad tells them to kill you, you dead. And Negroes, even in Africa, want to be everything but African. The African has to return to being an African and recognizing that everybody else is in him. Every other race. And that's the only point I disagree with you with. We'll have to discuss in another show. Because there are definitely different races. Race is not an illusion. They are them and they are not us. You know, but, you know.
So the social concept. It's a social construct. Race never existed before the 1500s.
Who told you that? That's bullshit.
Who used the term race before that?
You think they weren't different when they came in there?
We're talking about the term race. The term we talking when you use when
oh,
you talking about the term.
Oh, I don't
yeah.
know about the term. I'm talking about the,
yeah.
I'm talking about they are they and we
no
are
people
we.
Are different.
You know,
people are different. We know that.
They're physically different than us, biologically different. That's why they got all them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You go down,
yeah, that's, yeah. We ain't talking about the same thing, then. You're not, that's race
oh,
you're
yeah,
talking
you
about.
You go down the University of Penn. They got a whole building working on the differences, you know?
Right.
They know we named us. In fact, they use the black woman's blood to create their own thing. But beating them ain't hard. Surviving this thing ain't hard. But the abortion thing was sold to us. And the bad part about it is they used the black preacher to help sell it, you know?
Right. They mentioned that. That's part of the plan. They used them to, you know, smooth
yeah.
everything over. Which is, you know, obviously just learned that. But
that's what that tax benefit is for.
Oh,
you got to earn that tax credit.
Oh, okay.
You got to earn that free permit. To
crowd control,
it.
Huh?
They got a permit to steal.
Right.
So
wow.
You got to earn that every now and then. You know? So, yeah, I just want black people to realize that there's no excuse, you know, for us to not know that abortion is a weapon, is a war, it's been waged against us, you know, and it's been very successful, and it's been promoted, and it's still being promoted as
right.
a solution. For convenience, a solution of convenience. Like, you don't want to have a hard, bad day, so kill your baby.
Right.
We still going to give you the food, and the fact we give more, you know, they give them, man, we've seen how, you know, kids, everybody always, they got all these illusions about how expensive it is, how hard it is to raise a kid. The only thing hard is communicating, getting along with them, protecting them from the video games and TV. You find a way to feed them, to put them on the table. You find a way, you know?
Yeah, well, according to the buying power of the black community, there is a way.
Oh yeah, if we decided that we wasn't going to buy nothing else until we made it, it would change the game immediately. Like all right, we put a check there 2 months ahead, the check day for 2 months ahead. Now, we plan ahead that on that check day, we're going to take that money and we're going to buy the places. We're going to buy some T-shirts and one pair of jeans and whatever. And we're not going to buy nothing else from these motherfuckers until we make it ourselves.
Right.
Soap powder, dish detergent, toothpaste. We go, you know what I mean?
Right.
It don't make sense. You got black folks talking all this, I love Garvey shit. Garvey's been dead 100 years and we don't produce enough. But we run around talking about, oh my God, we can't have Asian hate. Asian, you go in any goddamn dummy in the city and the motherfucker will sell you, they will sell you a shot of liquor under the counter.
Mm.
You travel thousands of miles to come here and sell me malt liquor and unfit food and liquor, and you my friend? Poppy, y'all, you know, everybody running around talking about how many murders going on in Philadelphia. You notice that every one of the murders got a poppy store in the background?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in the back poppy store. Then it took over our neighborhoods with the drug money they use to destroy our neighborhoods. And you can talk all you want. You can say I'm president. Say you want. Man, I used to get my dope from poppy. 30 keys at a time. You can't tell me I'm making shit up. I know. I was there. They're still selling the dope. Poppy's is the first line of the cocaine distribution network.
Right.
The Dominican. Because it's the Venezuelans and the Colombians is too soft to come in the hood. So they send their niggas, the Dominicans, down here in our hood to distribute the cocaine and the fentanyl and all the shit. Mexicans. So they destroy our community and then buy our community and wage war on us.
So why do you think that this man wants to kill all these black folks? So, because there's a lot of black people on the planet. A lot of brown, you know, we come in, you know, all shapes, sizes, colors. Why do you have to depopulate?
We are obsolete population. We're obsolete population. They don't need no, their advances in robotics and stuff. They don't need that many of us to maintain their lifestyle. And at the rate, with them consuming 75% of resources, you know what I mean? They're consuming all the resources. And they don't produce nothing. So they got to get rid of it. They can't afford to sustain us at the rate that they are consuming. So we got to go. That fucking zero carbon that Bill Gates and all them talking about, we got to aim for this fake-ass climate change. That's mm-hmm. you, black man. They got to get rid of you. You the zero carbon.
Mm. Well, that's nice to know, I think. Wow.
And
so we trash.
Yeah,
so we trash. We human trash now. We old shoes now. I don't need these sneakers.
Exactly.
They
don't have it. Look at the Klaus, the World Economic Forum. They got websites up. Bragging about their plans, 2030, and this and other, how they're going to use the COVID pandemic as an opportunity to reshape the world control.
Who is that? Who? Give me that. Say that slow.
World Economic Forum. They got a website. Klaus Schwab. The world's all in group. Look at the corporations. That's down with this shit.
Wow. World Economic Forum on COVID-19, right?
Just look in the world, you know, I'm for them. They got a website.
It's more than that, right?
They tell you the whole program.
Wow.
They plan on using, they putting up satellites, control all the fucking farming. That's why Bill Gates and them, they're going to take over food. They're taking over food.
Yeah, Monsanto is trying to do that right now in Africa. They already got it covered here.
You ain't look in your circular. All of a sudden, it's fake meat and plant based everything. They ready to jam. They gonna use these wars that they creating to create an emergency shortage of food, so that they can push them GMO foods and the insect foods and the bug foods down your throat. All this shit that people have been fighting and resisting, it's coming. Look at your circular. Your circular, they got plant-based butter now. What the fuck is that plant-based butter? But it's in your weekend ShopRite circular. Magenta, imagine meat. They got like 8 different kinds of almost, I ain't meat, but we gonna make you think you like this stuff.
Mm.
They ain't playing. But they clear about it. They gonna use this COVID-19 pandemic as a justification. That and this global warming bullshit. You know, they blame everything on global warming, but it's them fucking with, messing with everything. They messing with everything.
So, abortion is just a small, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because they got something for the whole planet.
These people got long range games. A mill here, a mill there. 500,000 here. We have a Somalia war here. We have Tigray there. We Ethiopia. You know what I mean? They bombed in Africa right today. Today, this very day, they're in Africa bombing. While they got everybody hollering, "Oh, pray for Ukraine!" They're over there bombing Africa.
Who are they bombing in Africa?
Ethiopia, Somalia. Right today. Somalia. They are.
No, that's interesting.
And they ain't hiding it. You know, we just following the talking point, the cues. You know, when you control the media, you decide what's important to talk about.
Right. We've been experiencing that has come to light with the COVID situation.
Right.
Or maybe to some people, I don't know, but I seem like it's come more to light with the COVID situation. I'm just put it that way. Maybe it happened to some people, but to me, yes.
Well, YouTube got 3 rows of COVID, how COVID is COVID promo information all day, every day. 3 rows in your feed. People don't understand. But abortion is just part of it. Abortion is always just part of it. Oh! Before you go, the most important thing, the other thing I wanted to talk about.
What's that?
Now, here we got Biden. All of a sudden, you know, he's still acting like he's our friend. They're going to finally appoint the first black woman on Supreme Court.
Okay, I don't see how that makes him our friend, but go ahead. I don't make it my friend, but go ahead. I get what you're saying.
He's a defender of Baby Kim. He's a defender of abortion.
Okay, you know what? On that note, I'm gonna end this show on that, because this is the thing about conclusion. It seems like the womb is and can be the unsafe environment for a fetus in the United States, period. There appears to be levels to the degree of risk, vulnerability, and the level is greater among Black women, particularly impoverished Black women. Why are they so married to poverty, right? Planned Parenthood performed 354,871 abortions in 2020. The 618.1 million in government reimbursements and grants in 2019-20 also marked an increase from the 6,016.8 million in reimbursements and grants in 2018 and 19. Although Planned Parenthood received more than $500 million in government reimbursements and grants, the organization supports defunding the police. So $500 million, a lot of money. That is reason enough to target a vulnerable population. But look at who's paying the bill, the United States government. The very same government founded on the invention of race, the pseudoscience, and the social economic construction designed to validate the enslavement, disenfranchisement, and poor treatment of Black people. What a coincidence. And as I said earlier, if you see something repeating itself, and this is the brother that I'm quoting when I say that, it's not a coincidence. It's by design. So we have the United States government paying for all these abortions. Now, that's saying a lot right there.
So the Black women are hiring Indians and Asians to kill their babies and Europeans. You put the hit on your baby with these people.
Well, you look at it that way, which I think that they're probably not looking at it that way. They probably need more conversation and to even talk about what's going on and the whole process, starting from the relationships on to the interaction that you have with people and responsibility and things like that, and how we are, what we're doing to ourselves and how it's impacting on us as a group of people, individuals, and so forth, and relationships, marriages, things like that. And it's we only have 6 more minutes to go, and I just want to say I want to thank you for calling in. You need to call in more often.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because you actually should be the one doing this. But because if I'm on here, I know you could be on here. You know what I'm saying?
So
I just want to thank everybody for listening in. We had a lot of listeners on the deck. And feel free to chime in. Press number one if you had something to say. Until, I want to thank We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, who thought enough of me to put me on a radio show, which is amazing. And I'm going to thank again my friend for calling today. Haven't heard from you in a minute.
Remember
about you.
Oh, yeah. Just remember, Mafo 201, MAAFO.
Oh, I got that.
MAAFA
21. MAAFA 21. Y'all guys, Google it and Google the World Economic Forum. Right, two things.
Definitely.
Suggested readings or things for you to listen to. MAAFA 21. What you say?
Let me give you a preview. Let me ask you something. Where does Elon Musk money come from?
Oh, I don't even know. Man, kidding. That's above my pay grade. I just know the man got some money. I don't know where it comes from.
Guess where his money come from? His father got emerald mines in Africa, so he just made his money killing African people.
Wow. Elon Musk, huh? What's his name? Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
M-U-S-K. Okay, that's the boy with the electric cars and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, Mr. Tesla, yeah.
Tesla, yeah. Thank
you, everybody, for rocket rides going out of space.
Yeah, right. Right, that's him, yeah. Okay. That's a freebie. Okay. I didn't know he was that guy, but I know everybody loves a winner, and they think that people who have lots of money are winners. So,
right.
And we got to get out of that mentality also, because you are who you are, and what you do is who you are. You know, so how you living, how you being.
Right.
But we don't know Elon Musk from a can of paint. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what
right.
I don't know what kind of a person he is. But with that being said, I'm going to have to close for the day, and I'm going to get with you. In the real world, all right?
My man, all right.
All right, peace out.
Peace, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. I want to, again, thank Retalk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to host this show. Until next week, everyone, I want to thank you for calling in and listening in. Do your own research. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Until next week, each one reach one, each one teach one.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.